Morning. That helped kill the nerves a wee bit, didn't it? I genuinely thought leading the praise was the most nerve-wracking thing I would ever do, and now I'm standing here. But let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So a number of years ago, I was at an evening meeting in here. I'm pretty sure it was winter time. There was hardly any here. We were sitting in a wee circle, just there. I don't know why we were sitting there in a wee circle and not in a room. And Irene led a study on prayer. That night, when I got home, I felt God say strong, pray in D. So for those that like a title, that's this week's title, Just Pray in D. This also isn't going to be a sermon in the sense that it's more a story of my prayer journey, or a kind of testimony. At that time, I was still learning the violin, and for anyone that's ever learned a C instrument, you'll know that we begin by learning the key of C. That's all the white notes in the piano. That makes it really easy. I'm not wanting this to become a music theory lesson, but the equivalent of the violin is G. The first real tune that we learn is Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. So let's think of this as learning the Lord's Prayer. So the next step on a C instrument is to learn D, including the violin. I know it doesn't make sense. No music theory. If you want to know, you can ask me at the end. So in my head, the natural progression was to then use other prayers from the Bible. So if the Lord's Prayer was C, then surely the others are D. So there's the prayer of Jabez, which can be found in 1 Chronicles 4:10. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. Now there are whole books on this, thousands of articles on the internet, so that's for you if you want to know more about that. There's also the Shema in Deuteronomy. Does this keep going out? Will I try the other one? It's me again. So there's also the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 5. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." Now, these verses are central to the Jewish faith. It's also a prayer that serves as a centerpiece of the morning and evening Jewish prayer services every single day. So they know this inside out. And there's also an excellent series of YouTube videos by the Bible Project that deep dives into these verses if you want to know more. And one last example, and probably the most important one, is any prayer built around John 3:16. How can you pray anything better than acknowledging God sent his only Son to die that we may live? And I know technically we only need to pray the prayer of salvation once, as God doesn't forget. But if you're anything like me, we need reminding quite often. And I'd urge you today, if you haven't said a prayer of salvation, to do it. Speak to myself, an elder or a deacon, the person next to you at the end, if it's something that interests you. And if you have said a prayer of salvation, do you need to remind yourself of why you're sitting here right now? So many, many more pre-written prayers later. It would take me all day to go through the Bible one by one, picking the prayers out. God said, "That's good, Craig. Now try praying in D." So at this point, I tended to base... I'm not doing very well with mics, am I? I tend to base all my prayers around the Acts method. That's adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. I'm sure most people in here have read stuff on it. But again, there's loads of books and articles, so I'll spare you the details. But if you don't know what it is, I do recommend taking a note of it as homework too, because it's still a strong basis of my prayer times to this day. I then started to personalise or paraphrase passages. Take the passage Vivian described last week when opening the service, Psalm 23. "O Lord, you are my guide. With you guiding me, I want for nothing. You fill me with a peace that surpasses all understanding and help me keep my focus on you. You fill me with your spirit, Lord, making it a joy to worship you and follow the paths you have in store for me in order to do your work. I could go on, but I'm sure you get the idea. Then God said, okay, now pray in D. I had this overwhelming sense that God was sort of saying, well done, you've just reinvented the wheel. So let's think of this. I'm still playing in C. There's nothing wrong with the prayers mentioned. They're not quite the simple prayer that everyone and their granny knows, but they're still familiar enough that most people that attend church regularly are familiar with it. It's a pretty prayer. It's well structured. It's got a beginning, a middle, and an end. Musically speaking, you're still playing Twinkle Twinkle. You've just added a wee trill in at the end. So it was time I got serious. I was going to do a deep dive into the Psalms, and I was even going to fast while I was doing it. I got as far as Psalm 5, and then I got hungry. No, I'm kidding on. But it was verse 10, just jumped out. Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. And that's when I thought, I've nailed it. Prayer doesn't have to be flowery. It doesn't need to follow strict rules. This was more raw. It was authentic and real. In short, it's realistic. And at first glance, and after Mark's sermon last week, it almost comes across as a contradiction to what he was saying. But it's only if you take the verse out of context. I feel if you take the psalm as a whole, it confirms what Mark was saying. Keep your focus on God and let God deal with everything else. God said, getting warmer. Now try praying in D. He definitely has a sense of humour, because my whole walk with Christ, it's the most vivid or clear I've ever heard the Lord. It was a genuine praying D, and I couldn't help but think, very good, God. If you can be that clear about what I've got to do, do you fancy kind of breaking it down a bit for me? And it was at this point, and I'm kind of ashamed to admit this one, that I decided to pray, asking God what he meant. And I do laugh at this now looking back, because I think we are all guilty of doing this. We hear half the story, we get so excited about it that we run off and do it ourselves. It's just a bit more embarrassing when you're trying to figure something out about prayer and you actually fail to pray about it. But then after praying, it changed. I just got it. I understood it. And it was as simple as just praying D. Thank you. Kidding on. So it's pick an adverb that begins. It's trickling through. Pick an adverb that begins with D and pray that way. Now, an adverb is a word that modifies or describes a verb. So if we talk about the singing we've just done, if we're talking about me, he sings dreadfully. He is a dreadful singer. So D is the word. But before I break this down, I want to throw out a disclaimer that not every word is suitable, but it got me praying differently. And why not just start with that word, differently? Try praying differently. We will have an individual approach to this, as I'm pretty sure every single one of us has differing prayer times. Try praying on your commute if you don't already do it. Do you normally sit on your bed and pray? Why not sit somewhere a bit less comfortable? Or get down on your knees. You could even lie face down. Try journaling if you don't already. It could be anything, but constantly try new things. Keep your prayer times fresh, but not to the point of distraction. Another, dutifully, this is your early morning prayer time or your before bed prayer time. It falls into your routine. It can be the one that follows the rules of the Lord's Prayer or the Acts method. This is the prayer time where you work through the list of people that you're dutifully praying for. Disheartenedly. Look, sometimes life is tough. Sometimes we don't feel like giving God the glory and the honour. And I'm not saying that's the right attitude to have before I get lynched. But I'm trying to be honest to help us see that we can pray whenever. I know I've had a couple of messy prayer times, the tears flowing, the snotty top lip, you know the kind, the why me prayer times. This is the prayer in which we find the depth of the Father's love. These are the times that we may have said some horrible things to God, but he still fills us with his peace and his comfort he still reveals his love through these disheartened prayers. There's deeply. This can cover a number of situations. Pray deeply about a theological issue. Deeply about your love for God. It could be closing your room door, sticking on worship music, starting a conversation with God, and re-emerging when it's got dark. You want to know God more, or know yourself more, then you need to start praying deeply and deliberately. There's another one, deliberately. This could be both a positive or a negative one. Pick a topic, a subject, a gripe, your awe of God, and pray specifically and deliberately for that one thing. Think about it. If you have a question for someone, you seek them out and you ask them. You don't structure this elaborate conversation and run the risk of forgetting the thing that you've deliberately sought them out to ask. And it's the same with God and prayer. It should be constant and it should be a conversation. So if you have a point to say or a question to ask, just be deliberate. Desperately. This is one that even Jesus has an example of. Luke 22:42 says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." It's actually quite good for your pride to be desperate now and again. Nothing as humbling as a reminder that we don't have it all together. But also, by laying it at God's feet, it allows him to fix it, to sort it, to comfort you, to rectify whatever desperate situation you're finding yourself in. Drowsily. Is it better to fall asleep while praying than just not praying at all because you were tired? Discreetly. You see an accident while walking down the street, just say a quick prayer for the situation. No need to drop to your knees, clasp your hands, and make a big song and dance about praying for the situation. It's about the prayer. It's not about the act of praying. Disappointedly. And this is to show it's still relevant. I added this word in yesterday because most of you know I changed career 5 months ago and this decision was a hard one to make and it took a lot of prayer and advice from others. So you can imagine my disappointment this week when we were told our branch is closing. And it's moments like this where we can be guilty of not praying, moments where we doubt ourselves and God that, "But I thought you said prayer." So sitting quietly in that meeting, disappointedly praying, sorry Lindsay if you ever listened to this, I was kind of listening, I felt God remind me of Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And as the week has unfolded and we've received more info, I think this could actually be an excellent opportunity. And yes, I'm still disappointed. And yes, I'm going to miss my new friends and the small team. But had I not prayed through that disappointment, I would have missed out on God's peace, comfort, and calm, and to the opportunities that lie before me. I'll do one more. Disgustedly. And this is just to prove it's not all pretty words. Do you ever watch the news and get disgusted by something someone has done? Pray about it. Quite often it might sound like that verse I read from Psalm 5, "Lord, teach them a lesson, ruin their life, etc., etc." But if you keep going with the prayer instead of stopping there, it changes. "Lord, help them see their wrongs, convict them of their sins and soften their heart to you, open their eyes that they may see you for who you are." And I could go on and on and on with the D letters. And I've also just scratched the surface of all the words I use. They could all be a sermon in themselves. And I'm also aware that this works with other letters, so don't get hung up on the letter D. It's just God obviously knew D would get my attention because I was learning the violin at the time. Other words are dramatically, dependably, deliriously, difficultly, devotionally. I'm sure you've all got dictionaries in the house. The main question through all this, though, is how did this change my prayer life? Well, every moment is prayer. It's not all structured. It's raw. It's real. It's a conversation. It has tears of both joy and sadness. It has cries of desperation as well as laughter. I start and end my day with a prayer time, structured prayer, but the rest of the day it's just a conversation. It's about changing that voice in your head. And not everyone likes to admit it, but we all have that voice in our heads. And I found that by praying in D, I've switched that voice from talking to myself constantly to talking to God constantly. And has it made me the best prayer in the world? Nope. I've been to Encounter Prayer Time about 75% of the time it's been running, and I could count on this hand how many times I've prayed out loud. That doesn't mean I'm not praying, because that's not who I am. But it's just another opportunity for me to diligently pray, even when it is silent. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. A quote by Rabindranath Tagore. I might have butchered his name as well, so you're not the only one, Ewan. I have on my table a violin string. It is free to move in any direction I like. If I twist one end, it responds. It is free, but it is not free to sing. So I take it and fix it into my violin. I bind it, and when it is bound, it is free for the first time to sing. True freedom comes when we bind ourselves to Jesus and fix our eyes on him. As the violin string comes alive when bound into the violin, so we come alive in Christ. Jesus is the great liberator. He sets us free. At the heart of our faith is a relationship with Jesus. Jesus died for you. He was raised to life, and he is alive today. You cannot see him physically, but you can see him with the eyes of faith. And if that isn't a reason to pray constantly, then I don't know what else I can say. He's our father and friend, and I'm sure every one of us loves talking to our friends or our parents or our spouses. We text our friends, we share funny stories with our friends, we tell them about our day, we have a good old moan, we thank them when they do things for us, and why should God be any different? But before I close in prayer, I want to show you a video example of how you can take your prayer from down here to all the way up here without losing the essence of what prayer is. It's a conversation with the Most High God. Just out playing the welcome message. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, it never ceases to amaze me that you are God, that you are above all things, yet you sent your Son to die for us that we may have eternal life. It amazes me that I can stand here knowing I'm in your presence and can talk to you and know that you're listening. Lord, I thank you that you gave me this phrase all those years ago and how much it changed my prayer times with you. I pray for everyone in this room that your Spirit will move amongst us. And if we get nothing else from this morning, I pray that your Spirit moves us deeper into a place of prayer and conversation with you. Our lives are worthless without you, and we just need to know you more and more. Amen.
I wasn't as nervous as I thought.